It's a very cold Friday morning here in Havana. I'm guessing probably around 16, 17 degrees, which for me is absolutely freezing. And for Cubans, por supuesto, of course. And winter fashion is out in force. Winter fashion, or cold front fashion as they call it here, is basically any warm piece of clothing that you have, throw it on you. Doesn't matter if the colours match. Doesn't matter if they're from different decades. So this morning when I had a quick trip out to the market, there was denim on denim on denim. And I swear the denim was 70s, 80s and 90s at least. Stonewashed 80s. I think that was 80s. And then jacket. The jeans were original 70s flares if I ever saw them. And they also had a denim shirt, tightly fitted on a guy. So I'm guessing that was probably kind of 90s, maybe into the 2000s. So I'm playing history detective today. I adore, one of the things I most adore is browsing through cookery books. But even more than modern cookery books, browsing through old cookery books, because it really gives you a connection with the past. And somehow I feel like, what's that movie with Harrison Ford in it? The Professor. And the Indiana Jones. Somehow I'm kind of, I feel like I'm almost jumping back in time, that I'm literally transported with these books. I have in front of me what I think are the remnants of 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 5 books. They were in pretty poor condition, and all the pages, the edges are all crumpled and torn. I'll take some photos and put them up with this audio recording. I've got a book from about the early 50s, which is more or less intact, and that's pretty interesting. Got a lot of ingredients that you just are not available in Cuba these days. But I also have a book, and it must be from the 30s or the 40s. There are no quantities in it whatsoever. It's really interesting how recipes were written in a different time. And it just, you know, like it says here, fish a la Milanese, for example. Fish Milanese style, I guess Milan style. And it says things like, you make it with rounds of red snapper, which you wash, and you put, listen to this, you put in salt, lime juice, or green lime juice, they make the distinction here, and then you cover it with breadcrumbs mixed with grated cheese, and that's it. There's no quantities. it's kind of light on method as well, to be honest. And then it says, to make the sauce, you make a batido, which is a puree of egg with parsley and some more grated cheese. And then it says, fry the fish in oil. Add the sauce. And then at the end it says, you can eat it like this, or you can eat it with a salsa made from butter and parsley. See the index. The whole recipe is 7 lines. That's it. It's fascinating that, I suppose, in those times, people, women primarily, let's face it, women were doing the cooking, and they knew sufficient information that they didn't need exact quantities, I'm guessing. And another page, I don't know if it's from the same book, it has a slightly different quality to it, but it has a list of, let me see, 6 main reasons why things can go disastrously wrong in the kitchen. And I think it's fabulous. The first one is, if you add more water than is indicated in the recipe, Now, I'm guessing, actually, that this book is probably from the 50s because it's probably telling you quantities, unlike that other book, which is from the 30s or 40s. It has the second thing, which is most important, which gives you an insight into how important pressure cooking is in this country and has been historically. It's the second most important reason for why things go wrong in the kitchen is that if you leave the valve of the pressure cooker open and the vapor escapes, that's apparently a no-no, a big no-no in any woman, in any Cuban woman's kitchen. Another little leaflet, I suppose, rather than a book that I have, and one which I'm probably the most excited about having in my hands, definitely from the 50s. It's an exposition, the annual exhibition of tables, Exposición Anual de Mesas, and it's prepared and served dishes by the distinguished expert Nitzia Viapul, who was a TV chef long before TV chefs were invented in Europe. She had a program called Cocina al Minuto on national television here in Cuba. Originally born in New York, her parents were Cuban. She moved to Cuba, I think, as a teenager. And she never left. She never went. I think she travelled back on occasion, but she certainly never left Cuba, even through some fairly difficult times. But this is obviously a leaflet or a menu from the exposition, like a conference somewhere in Havana. And Nitzia Viapul's menus are articulated in the in the menu, and like, for example, it runs from November 19th to the 24th. I'll have to check out what year. And they have examples of, for example, a dinner for the New Year, a Sunday dinner for Noche Buena, which is Christmas Eve. They have a Easter lunch. Interesting, because Easter was still being celebrated then. Latterly, religious celebrations were banned outright, and only recently have started again. So Easter celebrations are still somewhat new. It also has a flyer, like a promotional flyer, for her book, which is called as well Cocina al Minuto. And it says this is a new edition with increased new and flavoursome recipes, which are very easy to prepare. And the price is $4. Interesting. There's also little annotations in pencil on the menu. And I'm guessing that the lady who attended this, who's the mother-in-law of one of my neighbours, it's my neighbour's books that she has loaned me. I'm guessing that her mother-in-law actually attended and made little notes in the margins. And I see here there's some notes about beef soup, and there's also some notes about chicken noodle soup. Wow, one of my favourites. This is gold dust to me. Mainly because it gives an insight into history, but also in terms of my heroine, Nitzia Viapul, it just can't be beaten. Also, as I've been going through the books, I have them spread out completely on the kitchen table, and I'm going to try and order them somewhat so that after I've revised them and noted down some recipes, I'll give them back to Teresa in a little bit better order. But as I went through the books, I've come across some handwritten recipes, which are family recipes. And one, for example, is written on a white piece of writing paper, and it's written on headed paper. It's INCE, I-N-C-E, and Co. So I'm guessing this was pre the revolution. It was some corporate headed note paper, I guess. And the title is Para Teresita, for Teresita. That was her daughter-in-law. And it's her mother-in-law's recipe for lentils. Amazing. I'm going to... Oh, wow. I'm just reading down through. It has 3 cups of lentils, half a onion chopped, 3 pieces of garlic, 2 cups of chicken stock, half a teaspoon of turmeric. I've never even seen turmeric in Cuba. Half a teaspoon of powdered coriander, half a teaspoon of ground black pepper, quarter teaspoon of cumin, quarter teaspoon of cinnamon, interesting, an eighth to 1/4 of chili. Wow, or paprika. This is proof positive that people used to cook with chili in Cuba. I don't buy any of this chili, cooking with chilies died out when the Indian population was decimated. Here is proof that people were cooking with chili, or certainly this lady was putting it in her lentil recipe. This kind of, I suppose, I'm certainly going to try. I don't have turmeric. I'm going to have to try and get someone to bring turmeric to me here in Cuba. But resurrecting some of these old recipes and trying them again, for me, there's nothing stronger in terms of memory than taste. Well, except for smell. I think actually scientifically both smell and taste are important memory centres in the brain. But for me particularly, it's taste. I'd love to prepare this and have Teresa... have her taste it and see if she remembers if it tastes like how her mother-in-law used to make it. I'm looking at the other handwritten recipes here, and it's using again it's using turmeric. Very interesting, turmeric and using cinnamon. Wow, this is going to be so interesting over the next coming weeks. Copying these recipes down and trying them. Meanwhile, I think I'm going to spend the day piecing together these books and putting somewhat of an order on them and seeing what treasures I can find.